Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in,
yes,
look.
Sir.
Look, we came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging echoes, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Metro. So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life. From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life, how we live in life.
Hey, coming to you live and streaming to all 4 points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. And I'm your host, Bree. And I'm being joined tonight with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. Peace and blessings, Mark.
Peace and blessings, Bree and the Bree Life family.
Well, tonight, you know what we're talking about. We're talking about open relationships versus monogamy. What does that really mean? And is it natural? Well, we're going to be joined tonight with a few popular guests. We have coming on live and streaming, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo. I feel like we should have the applause in the crowd, you know. But Dr. Mumbo Jumbo. Also, tonight we'll be joined by Hassani Pettiford, the host of TV One's Love Addiction. He has a great show. I want all of you to listen to, or to, you can listen to it, or you can also find it on TV One on cable. Look at your local listings for where you can find TV One's Love Addiction. Also, we're going to be joined by another guest host, and that is Will Towson. He wrote a book, and he's going to come on air soon and share what his book is about. It touches a lot on the topics that we're going to discuss tonight. But, Mark, let's talk about open relationships versus monogamy. Let us hear what you have to say about this very popular topic, because, as you know, as most of our listeners probably know, there are a lot of famous people, a lot of famous couples, even some single people, who prefer to be in open relationships. So it's becoming a part of the norm, like internet dating. Would you agree with that?
Well, I wouldn't even like to say it's part of the norm. I think it's been part of our human existence. If you do any research, you'll see that there have been many cultures who have practice poly relationships, and I guess a couple of questions always come to mind. Are we attracted? We know we're attracted to the opposite sex, but are we attracted to monogamy? The opposite sex attraction is nature based, but is the monogamy attraction or the monogamy decision nature based? Is social, cultural, and religious programming responsible for the forms of relationships that we choose? There are many people who assert that the reasons why we're in the relationships we're in is because God, nature, the cosmos decided that's what we're supposed to be, and we're supposed to be one person. And there's undeniable evidence that suggests there is truly a sex/opposite sex attraction that we all have, and we have a desire to connect with each other and one another. But are we driven and attracted to only be with one person. You know, do we have to be convinced that there is a value and an incentive to have only one person? And, you know, many religious teachings promote this. However, many religious texts have examples of poly relationships as well. So having only one mate has been romanticized through, you know, our Western culture, and no doubt about it. And actually, I won't even just say our Western culture. We can go to, you know, Egyptian as well as ancient Mesopotamian cultures. We said one person only with one person. But here's my question, and we
When you look at the definition of monogamy, it says marriage to one person, the practice of being married to only one person at a time, the practice of having one sexual partner, the practice of having a sexual relationship with only one partner during a period of time, the practice of having one mate, the practice of having only one mate at a time during a lifetime. So what monogamy really is.
Well, that's not only what we've been taught what it is. We've been taught that it's right. So now, it's nothing wrong with you. You just gave a definition of what something is. And so for something to be doesn't always mean something is correct. Now, there are practical reasons for doing anything that we do. We have reasons for doing anything that we do. However, when one says this is the right way to do it, then it suggests any other way is not the right way to do it, and number one. So let's talk about that because, you know, open relationships suggest many forms, but the central piece of an open relationship is that there are going to be more than one person that I'm going to have some level of intimacy and connection to, and therefore it can take on different forms. It could be polygamy where you have one man with different women, one woman with different men, or a couple who will be together, but they'll also have, like a woman will have another mate or several other mates, and a man might have several other mates, but they'll still be all to some level, a level of commitment to each other. Now, some people say, well, no, that's kind of like a contradiction in terms of, say, commitment to one person but commitment to others. Well, we know in our lives we have commitments that exist in our business relationships and our intimate relationships as well as our familial relationships. So the fact that one can maintain more than one level of commitment is not a question. However, it is suggested that it may be hard. Now, I am not arguing whether it's easy or hard. I'm just taking the position that people are doing it, and people are doing it. Some people believe they're doing it with some level of success. So, and one thing we do know, and I will add about monogamous relationships, no matter how much we believe in monogamous relationships, we see right now, even to this day, that marriage being the most lauded, celebrated form of monogamous relationship is suffering from the ability to maintain it. Because we know, especially in our age group, in our 40s or so, we know that most of us have had several meaningful relationships, if not several marriages. So, therefore, the ability to continually maintain it, because some opponents of open relationships say it's impossible to make it work. It's going to be hard to make it work. There's going to be infidelity. There's going to be jealousy, so forth and so on. But I know a whole lot of marriages and of committed relationships that are not marriages that deal with the same issues constantly, jealousy, insecurity, and so forth and so on. So my question is, what is the problem with an open relationship? Why not have an open relationship? Or why have a monogamous relationship? And that's what I hope we can kind of toss the ball around today and kind of have a good, energetic conversation about what this all means.
Well, let's start our conversation by bringing Dr. Mumbo Jumbo on the line himself and see what his views are on open relationships versus monogamy. Peace and blessings, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo.
Hello, Bree Radio audience. How are y'all doing tonight?
We are great, and we are blessed for having you join our dialogue tonight. I mean, I have been looking forward to you participating for quite a long time. So,
well, you know,
tell us.
I've listened in to a few shows. I just never have joined the conversation, but, you know, Mark invited me, so I wanted to make sure I joined this particular conversation. And so I'm happy to participate because, you know, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, I sort of got Mumbo Jumbo on everything, so including this. So,
and we will hear your Mumbo Jumbo tonight. So tell us.
I think some of the things that will help the discussion is the question is monogamy learned or natural? And I think a lot of times when we talk about is monogamy natural, sometimes we confuse that with normal.
Mm-hmm.
And natural means that it's sort of a natural biological, physiological function or urge. And normal pretty much is sort of behavior that's acceptable in a society. It's not even normal, just sort of means if you look at all the observable behavior, what occurs the most frequently? You know, what occurs the most frequently? So what's the norm? You know, what do most things occur? Now, as far as monogamy being natural, there's not much scientific evidence to suggest that monogamy is natural. There's very few species that are monogamous over the life of their over their sexual life. And even species that they used to think were monogamous, particularly some of the bird species, the latest research has shown that they're really not that monogamous, and most of those cheat. And so one thing is to talk about if we distinguish between what's natural and what's normal. So I think from a physiological standpoint, just the fact that we are, just for the propagation of the species and our attraction, you know, to you know, have children and things like that. Those that urge to couple with more than one person is sort of a natural instinct. It's a natural instinct. So from that standpoint, I think it's not, and I think most people will admit that they've been attracted to more than one person in their life. You know, so that the urge to only be attracted to one person, I would say that's probably not necessarily natural. Now, when we talk about, there's also three different there's three different types of monogamy that we can actually talk about, you know, versus once we understand what's normal and what's natural. There's social monogamy, there's sexual monogamy, and then there's genetic monogamy. Social monogamy is pretty much a learned behavior, and most of the occurrence of social monogamy evolved in cultures where it was advantageous to have two parents care for the offspring, you know, to get the children to grow up and become adults. So it's sort of the social norm. And even in most of those cultures that have social monogamy, those people had more than one sexual partner and or more than one relationship over the course of their life. Now, the actually sexual monogamy, where you only have one sexual partner for life, is extremely rare among humans. And it's just rare. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's just rare because, as Mark said, you know, most people go from relationship to relationship, or even if they're in a relationship, they'll have more than one partner. And then the last, probably the most, from a research standpoint, the most significant monogamy is what's called genetic monogamy. Now, genetic monogamy is when you test all the offspring that a female has over their life, and then all the offspring are from the same father. All of our offspring are from the same father. And so, again, we know that that's extremely rare in nature, that most females who give birth have the offspring come from more than one father. And so when we talk about monogamy versus polyamorous, you know, which means, like monogamy, polygamy means you have more than one marriage. Polyamorous means you have more than one lover. And so I think if you're dating somebody and it's not an exclusive relationship, you're pretty much in an open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have more than one sexual partner.
True.
So it doesn't have to, it's very common practice, and it doesn't get that deep. So most people who are dating multiple people and having sex with more than one partner are pretty much in a non-monogamous relationship. They're in a polyamorous.
You know what? Right. Can I ask to hold that thought for just a moment? We're going to take a commercial break, folks. In the meanwhile, tell all your friends and family this is the discussion that you really want to be in on tonight. Open relationships versus monogamy, or either natural. Call in 424-220-1862. Also follow us on Bree Life Radio at Facebook, Bree Life Radio at Twitter, and you can also send your questions, concerns, and, of course, constructive criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. We're also going to open up the chat line, so you can follow us on BlogTalkRadio.com/BreeLife. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you didn't tune into the Bree Life Radio show on Wednesday, this is what you missed.
Hey, Mark. Mark, yeah, check it out, Mark. If they give it up too easy sometimes, I mean, if vagina was a stock, it would plummet. It would plummet.
Mm.
Because you give it away too easy.
You hear that, ladies? There is a brother on the line that's saying that the ladies are giving it up too easy.
And this?
We want a lot more than sex, too. We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want a whole lot of that will make the sexual experience that much more enhanced.
We can't forget about this.
Oh, on, I need to find out
Tony, you heard that. You know she's taking the easy way out of this one. You know what we're doing. Come on, Bree.
Wow. No, listen, I say you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your partner of what the deal breakers are.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
No, we breathing light. We ain't breathing heavy now. Right.
It's the Bree Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Check us at blogtalkradio.com/ Bree Life.
What you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree Life.
How we live in life.
Hey.
And welcome back. We are talking about open relationships versus monogamy. I am joined with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. And I'm also joined with our esteemed Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, who's been waiting for quite a long time now. And before we go back to Dr. Mumbo's point that he was trying to make, we're also going to bring on the line Will Towson, who's going to join our discussion tonight. And at 10 o'clock, folks, stay tuned in, because that is when Hassani Pettiford will be joining us. So in the meanwhile, we're going to bring on Will Towson. Peace and blessings. Welcome, Will.
Hey, Lamar, how you doing today? Hello, can you hear me?
All is well and everyone's great. Thank you for joining our discussion tonight.
My pleasure.
Okay. So, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, please continue with your thought.
Well, I guess I would say that from an observable standpoint, I would say that monogamy isn't probably our natural base state. I think we can learn to be socially monogamous. We can try to be sexually monogamous. I think the real sort of question, if this is what Mumbo Jumbo does, if you have a topic and question, you kind of get down to what's the real thing behind the question that's being posed. And I think there's a couple real questions that are behind it. And so one of the real questions, I think, is having an open relationship morally wrong? You know, is it wrong to have that? Is it wrong to admit that we have desires and attractions for other people, and is it wrong to act on that? You know, so I think that's one of the big questions. So
can we place hold that so that we can examine that question? And I'm going to ask Will if he can maybe address that question, because ironically enough, it kind of piggybacks off a discussion that he and I had earlier. So
I couldn't hear the question too clearly.
Okay.
Mumbo jumbo. Please restate the question.
I said I think one of the underlying questions behind the monogamy versus open relationship is probably less from a scientific standpoint as to which is a natural state for human beings. And I think really the underlying issue is from a moral standpoint, you know, where people look at is our open relationships morally acceptable? And I think that's really the issue that probably gets people most passionate on this topic. So I don't really
think
it has that much.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think
the doctor's right on. And some of the things that I think Mark from Houston was saying earlier, I think both of the brothers are right on point. The doctor's definitely breaking down a whole bunch of other things that I think that people need to understand why these components play such importance, why they have a lot of factors in these two different topics. I think when you have an open relationship, as we were discussing earlier, so monogamy, I think the bottom of it is really sexual jealousy. But it's about knowing oneself. You know, we were talking about earlier about being on the same page. I think it's very simple. I mean, the doctor breaks down really all these theories as far as natural, what's not healthy, what's natural, what's normal, which is great. I think you need that. But I think it's more simple than that. How are you built? Are you built in being a monogamous relationship? Do I believe that as humans we belong in a monogamous relationship? No, I don't believe that. I believe that the percentage rate between 3-5% out of roughly 5,000 species of mammals, including humans, are not monogamous. Matter of fact, if you want to break it down even further than that, I think the only animal mammal that's very, very monogamous is the goose. So even after her mate died, he still stays monogamous. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the argument. Do I believe we should be with only one mate? No. But I think society, being society, built this for some type of, it's some type of structural order and investment, you know, dealing with children and building a household and all of that. The doctor again broke down, if I'm not mistaken, if it was natural. Am I right, Doc?
Correct. Natural versus normal, yes.
Right. Is it natural for us? No. Mark was saying somehow we're the same things that we're facing in a monogamous relationship, if I'm not mistaken, people are facing that in marriages. The divorce rate is over 50%. People are swaying all the time, cheating all the time. Why is that? It's not just because they're just not happy. I think it's so much more deeper than that, and a lot of people do not want to see what the real issues are. I was just telling Bree a couple hours ago that I was at a wedding several months ago. Now, the groom, he's already got married. The bride is there. This is supposed to be the epitome of all women, of his choice. But yet we're discussing other women at the party. That's fine. We're lusting over other women. Is he a dog? He's one of the best guys I've ever met in my life. Never cheated on his woman when she was not his wife. But why do we have these temptations? These are questions. And a lot of people don't want to answer the real question. And if you
well,
go against
the
question. Grain, yes.
Let me say something about that. And see, even the way you said he called it a temptation. And a temptation is a social construct. I mean, because I like something, am I being tempted? I mean, I'm disliking it. I mean, if you want an ice cream sandwich, you're not tempted to have an ice cream sandwich. You just desire to have one. So when we call it a temptation, then we're actually implying, again, a certain level of judgment as to what it means to desire for somebody else. So when I desire another woman, now I'm being tempted.
When we discuss a temptation, we're also saying that there is – there's a feeling behind doing it that may not feel right, as if it's not appropriate to feel that way.
That's only because you've been
told. That's my point. It's about being wrong. It's also, again, the whole issue about temptation is, again, and you see it in a lot of religious, spiritual texts, the phrase, or the concept of temptation. So basically, the concept is that there are going to be things that are going to come at you and going to try to overtake you, and you must stand strong to keep them from happening. Okay, so now, if I see another woman and I desire her, I must stand strong. Now, remember, the reason I'm going to stand strong is because if I'm in a relationship with the one I'm with and I really want to stay in that relationship, then I ain't going to do it because it's a penalty that comes along with that maybe. Okay, so
right.
Then it's kind of like it ain't the best thing for my race, but it's not about it being wrong.
Well, let me interject there. So I think it's somewhat maybe pointless to argue what's right and what's wrong, because that kind of mumbo jumbo is so personal for each person. And even when people say, even when people talk about what's right and wrong for them, doesn't mean they really believe that, and it doesn't mean they really do that. So I think if we leave the right versus wrong, I'm not sure. I think that a lot of times in open relationships, people who are attracted to that lifestyle like to have the dialogue because they're struggling with coming to terms with it, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and they want to, or they're exploring it. They're curious about it and they're exploring it. Now, in everything, you know, even when we say what's natural, we cannot underestimate as humans our nurture, because our nurture has just as much impact on our human evolution and our society as our nature has. And there's a lot of things we do. Yes.
Doctor, let me ask. See, when you say right or wrong, but see, the moment you say it, you ask the question, is it moral? The fact that the word moral suggests right or wrong right there. So I think you can't escape, although I agree, maybe we shouldn't be discussing whether it's right or wrong, but when you throw the phrase or the word moral in there, you already imply that there is a belief on what's correct or right and what's incorrect, which is wrong.
I think that it's only correct, right or wrong, based on society. Society is the one that's pushing the rules and telling us what's right or wrong.
The group
up. Before most modern society, we have to go back to biblical times. Let's go back there for a moment, because pre Ten Commandments, being in an open relationship seemed to be acceptable. But then the Ten Commandments came out, and it said that, you know, you wouldn't covet somebody else's husband or wife or anything in their house. So where are we on that after the Ten Commandments come into play?
That's what I was saying when I even said it's a moral question for people. And even when I said it was a moral question, I didn't mean to imply that it wasn't. I also meant to imply that it was a personal thing. That's something that people personally decide and personally do. Now, from a society standpoint, from a nurture standpoint, if open relationships meet the overall economic and security goals of a collective of people, then more than likely they're going to tolerate that lifestyle. If it's not beneficial for their economic and, you know, physical security and things like that, then they're probably not going to encourage it or legalize it or things like that. So it's sort of like that doesn't stop our natural desire. Like, for example,
you can see people
who you're physically attracted to that it would be totally inappropriate for you, based on our current society thing, to act on that. You could see somebody underage that's physically developed, totally inappropriate for you to act on that, but that doesn't stop your natural desire, right?
Okay.
But then culturally and from a nurture standpoint, we adopt certain things that are detrimental to our survival as a collective.
Right, because we come to an understanding that it's detrimental to our – because you got other things. you said detrimental to our survival. So that means that there has to be some type of laboratory, so to speak, experiment suggesting that we can't survive as a collective if we do X, Y, and Z. So, or is it mythology, meaning we're saying that we believe it's not good for us to do it because someone doesn't like it? Because, I mean, unless you know, I mean, how do you know? One thing about it is very important for society to have a population. And one thing we do know, in order to have a population, you have to procreate. So if you want to come up with rules that will enforce or encourage procreation, then you could say that you do come up with an overall moral code and say, be with this one person. So now this is what you do know. If I'm with this one person and I have nature involved, I'm going to want to couple with that person. So then I have a greater chance or percentage of having babies with that person. For sure, if I'm running around, I don't know, maybe I won't have babies with a person. But if I stick a person and there's no physiological, medical reason why we can't have kids, and there's no protection, for instance, then we're going to. So you're right, there may be reasons, but when you talk about desiring other people, and especially meaning what happens when a culture wears out their reason for enforcing their position, meaning we don't need that anymore.
Well, I want you to hold your thought right there, Mark. We need to take a commercial break, and we are going to return in about 60 seconds. So everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It is important for you to get your healthy dose of the Breathe Life Radio Show, because when you miss the Breathe Life Radio Show, you miss moments like this.
And of course, there's those that get married for holy matrimony. They got married for holy matrimony.
And this?
The reason why a certain group of women attract themselves to internet dating is so that they can lie.
We can't forget about this.
I had a stalker. I had to get an order of protection.
You got a woman that you've been with for 7 years, so you do it. You do it. Stop, right?
Come on, Bree. Don't do it. Stop it.
It's real talk about real life. Inhale and breathe light.
So let's take that deep breath in, because we're about to go in.
It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Catch us at blogtalkradio.com/Breathe Life.
We are back. We are discussing tonight open relationships versus monogamy. And I'm being joined tonight with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas, and Dr. Mumbo Jumbo and Will Towson. Thank you, gentlemen, joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. The dialogue is heated. The phone lines are lit up. I have a lot of callers in queue that want to ask a question. I'm going to allow Mark to finish his thought, and then we're going to take our first caller.
Well, again, I think to me it's just like what happens when a culture decides, kind of going along with Dr. Mumbo Jumbo when he was saying, you know, about decisions we make for the group or for the culture, what makes sense for the group, so we don't do certain things. The question is, what happens when there are parts of the group that start saying, I don't know if we really need to do this anymore. We don't need this anymore. And I just wondered what happens then. I think that's a good question to kind of go forth in a sense when it comes to this whole concept of relationships and whether we stay monogamous or whether we choose to follow with our desires to see if we can come up with other individuals. But anyway, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our first caller, and the caller for calling from 562-235. 562-235, we're bringing you on the line. And I'm pretty sure I know who this is. Peace and blessings, my sister. It's Amanda from the West Coast. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Oh, thanks for having me on. I've been so busy, but I'm so glad I have time to tune in. Really good discussion earlier. Complete nonsense. from the young gentleman that called in, he seems like one of those tree huggers that don't have any standards about anything. My thing is, if open relationships are normal, why is it that I have emotions of attachment? Why is it that when I become attached with the man that I'm in a relationship with, and he does something that makes me feel like he's not just with me, why am I heartbroken? Explain that, tree hugger.
Are you talking about me? Well, I'll be the tree hugger. Take this out.
Wait a minute. If she's talking about Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, I am very proud to be a tree hugger.
Go ahead. Let it sound right.
Wait a minute, before you get too far, just to let you know, I am a registered Amerindian and a proud citizen of the Yamasee Nation. So I am actually an Amerindian and very, very close to the tree. So
just on that note, only you can prevent forest fires. Now, Amanda, we're going to try to get you addressed tonight. So let us start with Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, since he's very in tune with nature. Let's get his take on what's going on.
But, you know, actually what she talked about, when she gets attached to a guy and he does something and that her heart is broken, I mean, part of that, too, is nature too, because during the coupling process, there's certain hormones that are released that sort of make women sort of bond to the person they're with. And so, you know, the heartache and thing like that, it's probably one of the biggest things to me, the thing that's most important, whether it's monogamy versus open, is it an honest relationship? Is it an honest relationship, and are the people in the relationship at the point where they can really clarify what their expectations are and communicate those fairly and make sure the other person, you know, really knows what's going on and, you know, to minimize the deception and they're respectful and things like that. So and when you talk about standards, I think you're really sort of talking about expectations, and me personally, I'm not necessarily a serial dater. I'm a monogamous person by preference, just because of all the other things
going on. If you're monogamous, why is it that you say you don't believe in right and wrong? That's contradictory in itself.
Well, no, I might not believe in your definition of right and wrong. For example, I believe in right and wrong according to my philosophy, according to the things that I've been taught, you know, things from my heritage and things like that. As far as being honest and respectful, if you're asking me, do I believe in a Ten Commandment or Judeo-Christian?
Excuse me, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo and everyone who's on the line. If you have your computer on in the background, kind of turn it down because we're getting some really bad feedback. So if everyone could just be cognizant of that when they're calling in and those who are on the line.
Okay, go ahead.
From my perspective, me personally, I have a strong sense of what's right and wrong, and I have a strong sense, and my values sort of are focused around sharing love and doing everything positive to help nature and to help the planet and things like that.
Can I chime in?
From a social standpoint, I'm not in a position to judge people and tell somebody else that your relationship choice, the way you choose to deal with your romantic relationship,
right, but is it healthy to be an open relationship? Is it healthy? Is it healthy for the individual?
Can I chime in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I hear horrible feedback.
that somebody has a computer still on or something. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Now, is the feedback better?
Yeah.
Okay, go
okay.
ahead. Okay. I'm not
think
trying to argue.
It's
I'm
like,
just trying to see what side you're on.
Okay. I think that what the doc is saying is I understand his point. I don't believe that it's a question of right or wrong. I think it's about the individuals, the individuality. What you can take, what you can't take. You yourself have to understand who you are, what makes you, how you're built. A lot of people go into these open relationships thinking that, well, they're looking out for themselves. I think that we're in a self-centered society. So if I was to tell my woman, you know what, well, let's have an open relationship, I'm not really thinking about her. I'm thinking about all the things I can get from that. You know, and so my point is that once I understand what I'm really, how I'm really built, what I can take in or you can take in, then we're on the same page. That open relationship may prosper. That might be the best thing for our situation as individuals. You understand? Why are you so connected to the man? Because that's how we're built. Well, Dr.
So how can you
is
be connected to somebody that you're being shared with? I mean,
that's my point. But my point is, there is no
built trust there. You don't know if he has STDs with somebody else, and then he's sleeping with you.
My point. You're not allowing
me. I'm not a tree hugger.
What I'm saying is the fact that that's why you have to go into this relationship or go into that situation, understanding who you are. That's the most important thing. If you're not down for me personally,
if you're okay
I'm
with
the
open relationship, you need
I'm
to
not,
do a
no,
lot
I'm
of
not,
self-reflecting, and that's insecurity.
Right, I'm not down for an open relationship because of the fact that what happens when you're in an open relationship. I'm a firm believer that you're allowing other spirits to come in. If you go out
right.
and you have sex with several other men.
Well, I'm down
those,
with it.
You're taking in that those situations into our situation.
Okay.
So I'm not down.
We're going to allow
Mark to, because he seems very eager to want to address this. And I think Mark was saying something in the background about being very open to being in an open relationship.
By
so
all means. See,
deal
this,
with
this him. Is, to take a word out of the, I mean, take the word out of the page of Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, I hear mumbo jumbo on both ends, on the young ladies end and on the brothers end, and it's not disrespectful when I say this. Meaning, this is your concept because you start talking about spirituality and you start talking about attachment. And let me tell you something. I'll use an example that you might not think is congruous to this conversation, but you can attach to you can have three kids, and I'm guarantee you can form attachments to each one of those kids, and you love all of them. First of all, your capacity to attach to more than one person is good. So that means if you choose by virtue of your group or your religion, your spirituality, you say, I'm not going to attach to more than one person, you can do that. Don't do that. But don't act like it's not possible to attach to more than one person. Now,
but
it's
a natural... It's a natural reaction to attach yourself to one person that you feel comfortable
with. I disagree. I think it's a natural reaction to attach, not to
one person. If that's a natural reaction, why do I not feel attached to a whole bunch of people? Why am I not doing
You feel attached? Check this out. Let me check this out. You feel attached to who you feel attached to. Now, if you feel whether it's faith, fortune or virtue that you are attached to one person, we'll applaud you. But I can promise you that there are people out here that are attached to more than one person. Yes, they are. They can do it. And if they can do it, what I'm trying to figure out is why the tree hugger that you are not, I'm so objecting to what other people may be able to do and work. Because guess what? Even though you seem to be attached to one person, why doesn't that relationship sometimes work out when you're attached to them?
Well, you might be only in it for just the sex part of it. You don't have to be in it for a spiritual boundary. You have to be in it. You could just – I know women that goes from men to men to men to men just for the sex for it. But if I might not open a relationship, me personally, I can't –
Right, but they
I
go men
have,
to men because they have daddy issues from their childhood that they didn't deal with.
I don't hug trees.
I'm deep.
But wait a minute. Here's my issue with this whole conversation. I'm not going to diagnose why people do what they do. I'm saying there are people that are doing it and it works. There are people that are not doing it. Now, when
it
I
doesn't
you
work.
Say,
they're doing it out of response of their own pain. That's not healthy.
Oh, no, but wait a minute. This is what you just did. You just put
your perception of why it's happening.
It's not my perception. I know tons of women that have daddy issues, and they go from man to man to man. They're in pain.
I'm going to call time. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to address what Amanda just said, and I want you to hold your thought. So we are going to inhale
and breathe.
I really like to debate, so.
Okay, so we're about to debate.
I would like to add some demographic data, too, from the Ethnographic Atlas Codebook, too, at some point.
Okay, so let's go to a commercial break. I want everybody to inhale and breathe light. Let's take this break now.
Breathe Life Radio is a grassroots radio show offering a voice to everyday people. It is without a doubt that this service is a pleasure for we at Breathe Life to provide. However, this service comes at a cost. For us to continue to provide this valuable outlet to the community, we need your support. Join us as we raise funds to keep Breathe Life Radio streaming while we provide assistance to Public School 161 in Brooklyn, New York. 15% of all funds raised will go towards providing school supplies to the students of this necessary and vital educational institution. You can find more information about our fundraiser on the web at brilife.evenbright.com. That's brilife.evenbright.com.
And we're back. We're talking about open relationships versus monogamy. Is either natural? I'm joined tonight with my co-host Mark in Houston, Texas, Will Towson, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, and one of my loyal listeners and good friends from out on the West Coast. Girl, Amanda, where are you from? Let us tell everybody where you're from.
Hey, everybody. I'm over here in Long Beach. I know. I'm a little troublemaker. I have a little innocent face, but I'm a troublemaker. A lot of people don't have standards, but I do. So there you go.
Okay. Well, we're going to do a couple of things. One, I want to address what Amanda had said before the commercial break. I want to give Mark an opportunity to rebut. And then I want for us to do something a little different than what we normally do on. And also Dr. Mumbo Jumbo had something he wanted to add to the dialogue. But let me say this about the comment that Amanda made referencing women who go from man to man to man because they're either hurt or they got some daddy issues. In all fairness to that comment, I tend to agree but disagree, because I know that there are a bunch of other dynamics that go along with why women choose to have multiple partners, choose to be in open sexual relationships with multiple men. It's a gamut of reasons. So one of those reasons is because, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of viable men to embrace as a partner. So sometimes you got to go from frog to frog to frog to frog until you get to, you know, Prince Charming or whoever, whatever label you want to put on this individual. In fairness to that comment, there's another side of it. It's not just women being hurt. It's not just women having daddy issues. We couldn't begin to psychoanalyze why both men and women do things outside of monogamy that they do. So not to embrace the tree hugger ideology either, because I don't want a tree hugger. But,
I just have to be fair
on both sides. That's just who I am. But, Mark, do you want to reference back to, you know, the comment that you were about to make before we went to station breaks?
I'll just say this. I mean, my point is, I am not making fun of the moniker or trying to the loot and the moniker, but I'm not a doctor. And my goal in this conversation or this dialogue is not to diagnose anyone and say why people are doing what they're doing. I'm just talking about the fact that we are doing the things that we are doing, and that you do attach, and that you can attach to more than one person. And if you choose not to attach to more than one person, that's cool too. I'm not sitting up here saying that, because she mentioned standards. I mean, we all have standards, trust me. There is a standard, meaning there's always something that we believe that we do something based upon. We all do. We have our own standards. But that's the point. We have our own standards. So when she says she has her standards lead her to believe and do what she does. Mine lead me to believe and do what I do. Guess what we have in common? We both have standards. And that's, you know, that's all I have to say about it.
We're gonna take another caller, but Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, first of all, I want to thank Amanda for calling in. I'm so happy that she finally got a chance to get on the line and infuse her ideologies and where she stands on the topic. Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, did you want to say something really quick before?
I do want to say something. I wish I could talk to Amanda too. I'm curious if she's a woman of color. Because there's so much about the tree hunter heritage I would really love to have a conversation with her about one day.
If we have a moment, we're going to bring her back. But
according to the Ethnographic Atlas Code Book, of 1,231 societies that they surveyed, this is patterns of occurrence of group marriage worldwide. Of the 1,231 societies, 186 were monogamous. 453 had occasional polygyny. And polygyny is when a man has more than one woman. 588 had more frequent polygyny. And only 4 had polyandry. And polyandry is when it's legal for a wife to have multiple husbands. So even by those standards, the most except for women having legally more than one husband, monogamy is the smallest occurrence worldwide of marriage. And I know sometimes we sort of take this, you know, the U.S. is, you know, Uncle Sam's way is the only way and blah, 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 blah. But as a species, we're much more prolific than just what we've been sort of indoctrinated in with American culture.
Okay. So then this is a question that I want to throw out there. Why do we choose, before we bring on our next caller, and that next caller that we'll be bringing on is from 347920. Why do we feel the need to even want to consider being in an open relationship? What in us provokes that?
I think that,
you know,
if you don't mind me asking, I think that, I'm sorry, you going to go, Doc?
No, go ahead first. I'd like to check that, because that's one of the questions I wrote out. So you go ahead first.
Okay. I think that can be a host of many different things. It could be unhappiness. It can be a lot of things in a relationship that's not working out, and you may come to the conclusion that that may be the only way of saving what you have. I wrote a book called The Blueprint, Redefining Yourself and Your Relationships with Men, where I interviewed over 500 men, single and married. And most of them have told me that going outside of their marriage has saved their marriage. I've never been married, so I can't speak on that. I'm not one that agree with, going outside of my woman, just me and my woman. I'm just not that type of person. I'm not built like that, and that's the honest truth. But there could be many different things within your relationship that makes you unhappy, that make you want to crave to go outside, but still keep what you have at home. Your woman might not be a communicator, but now you find yourself communicating to someone else outside of that relationship, and then, of course, that takes it to another level. You understand what I'm saying? So it could be many elements that in your relationship that causes you to go step outside, other than just being sex-driven. You know, because a lot of women believe that men are just so sex-driven that that's all, you know, that's all we're about. And we're so much more deeper than that.
Well, that's interesting. We have a person in our chat room Stan, says that he feels that monogamy is not natural. Monogamy is owning another human being. I just wanted to make sure his thought got heard tonight. Jumbo, do you want to go before we bring the caller on?
Yes. Now, the thing is that from my perspective, the goals of monogamous relationships don't really differ from the goals of open relationships. I think that the thing that people are looking for, people want to make human connections. People want sort of economic support. Mm-hmm. People want love and affection, and people want sexual satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are trying to get those things. Those are the goals. And as far as, and so the issue, so I think people want the same thing. People, different people just wind up exploring different ways trying to get it. And some of those ways are destructive, and some of those ways are less destructive. Some are actually beneficial. And I think that is the thing that determines if something is sustainable or not in the long run. Now, as far as, like, the standards and things like that, I mean, it's hard enough to get two people in a relationship to have the same relationship goals. So, you know, much like that. And of course, I like what Will said too. It's like in one of the books, like actually, in my dating mumbo jumbo, I explicitly avoid marriage. So I just talk about dating because to me, marriage is a business relationship. It's sort of the have to's. And so I just deal with the interpersonal relationship to want to, so regardless if you're married or not, because from my perspective, long-term relationships don't deteriorate because of business reasons. They usually deteriorate because of interpersonal or the fun part stuff. And people need emotional, sexual, intellectual stimulation, romantic stimulation. You know, if you're not getting that from your romantic partner or from one person, you're going to get it someplace else.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, I'm going to ask you to hold any further thoughts. I'm going to bring a caller from 347-920 on, and then we'll take a station break, and then we're going to be joined by TV1 Love Addiction host himself, Hassani Pettiford. Good evening. Peace and blessings.
Good evening. Peace and blessings to you as well. Calling straight out of Queens, New York. My name is Shireen Braxton, and I've been listening to the show for a while. Interesting topic. This is actually my first night tuning in, but I'm saying I've been listening to this particular show. So
okay.
This topic has come up over and over again, and people question why will a couple decide to have an open relationship. Obviously, if they have communicated with one another that that's what they want and it works for them, then I don't see anything wrong with it from my perspective. It's not necessarily something I would want or I would do in my life, but if it works for that particular couple and they've communicated that, then I wouldn't pass judgment and say, oh, it's not moral, it's not right, it's something that's unnatural, if that's what they want. Now, will it work for the duration of their relationship? Probably not, because at some point they're going to decide, you know, I need something more. I need something more of substance. If we're talking about marriage or getting married, you know, that may not be something that they want to incorporate into the marriage. And then again, it may be something that works for that relationship, for whatever it is. People have the swinger thing. I know they have the swingers club where couples go and they swing, and it's okay in this day and time for them to do that, and it works for them. So I don't think
they're
right or wrong. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question for anyone on the panel that you'd like to have addressed?
It was a person that spoke about it not being, it's the biblical, what happened in the Bible years ago, and it was accepted. And I think, I don't know too much about that in terms of, but I've heard people say that it was it was accepted that having more than one wife in some cultures and some religions that's accepted. So I don't see what the difference is between an open relationship and it being accepted culture in some cultures. Two wives.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in, and we're going to talk about that for a moment. And then we're going to bring on Hassani Pettiford. Don't hang up, darling. So, gentlemen, what do you think about what our caller just brought to our attention? You know, she doesn't feel that there's a difference between cultures that accept multiple marriages, that there's any difference versus open relationships. What do you think? Mark, real briefly.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I have a real defined position on it. I think people do what they do, and I think social groups clearly impact how individuals make decisions. So I do believe that. So.
Okay.
I agree with Mark, what you're saying, too. Yeah, I agree with Mark you said, but to add to that, the difference in the cultural marriages also is a man can have as many wives as he can afford financially.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference with the open relationship thing.
Okay. And Dr. Mumbo Jumbo.
Well, if you look at most hunter-gatherer societies, and this was before, you know, men owned property and things like that, the lineage usually was determined by the way of women because, you know, men didn't think it was any more natural to own the land than it was to own the air or own women and stuff like that. And so most women had more than one partner because they shared, in those hunter-gatherer cultures, everybody shared everything. And it wasn't sort of until people started living in more agrarian societies and stopped hunting and gathering and start possessing property that some of these new concepts sort of came in and gave rise to a lot of the patriarchal things and things like that we sort of take for granted as the most advanced ultimate way of life. But me personally, I'm, like I said, I'm a monogamous person, but I would not spend my energy trying to stop somebody from doing something else.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a 30-second break, and then we will be joined by TV1's Hassani Pettiford, the host of Love Addiction. Stay tuned.
It's the Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Real Life. You gotta turn it on.
It's the Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
When Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on.
It's the Real Life Show.
You gotta turn it on. The Real Life. You gotta turn it on.
Tune in Wednesday and Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for Real Talk about Real Life. Inhale and breathe light. It's the Breathe Life Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com/BRILIFE.
It's the Breathe Life Show.
Well, thank you for coming back. It is the Breathe Life Radio Show, and I'm your host, Bree. I'm being joined tonight with my co-host, Mark, in Houston, Texas. On the line also, we have Dr. Mumbo Jumbo and Will Townsend. And right now, we're going to be joined with Hassani Pettiford, the host of TV1's Love Addiction. Hassani.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, peace and blessings.
How
are you?
On the panel? Great.
Wonderful. Well, you know what our topic is about. We're talking about open relationships versus monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you've had a few moments to listen to the dialogue that's been going backwards and forwards with the panel. Could you share your thoughts with us on this topic, and a topic that's coming up a lot in on television, in the news, on the internet, even internet dating? You'll see profiles that mention it. So just give us your thoughts on it.
Well, I mean, personally, I I believe in monogamy. I believe in closed relationships, not open relationships, and whether you want to deal with it from a historical perspective as to what the reasons were that people did what they did or the common typical reasons that people do it today, in most instances that I've researched, it usually doesn't work in a couple's favor. I mean, there's no longevity from what I've seen. Now, listen, there are many people that can defy all the odds and live in these type of relationships and thrive and prosper, but generally speaking, I find that it brings a lot of complications into the relationship. I mean, if you want to go back to biblical days and if we want to use the argument that there were not enough people on the planet and they needed to procreate, so therefore, you know, men took on several wives in order to produce children and offsprings and things of that nature, we can have that discussion. But at the same time, we know that when men had multiple wives and concubines, it led to a lot of internal fighting and just a whole lot of issues within the family. You had property right issues, inheritance issues, intimacy issues, jealousy, envy, all types of things, even between the spouses. Even today, when you find many celebrities who participate in open marriages, a lot of times those relationships don't last. They're very short-lived. And then people get jealous. Think about it. If I'm allowed to sleep with anyone I want, yet have some form of commitment, eventually, what if I gain some type of attraction that goes beyond the mere physicality of the sexual relationship, and now it becomes an affair of the heart, if you will. So now I'm emotionally connected to someone outside of my relationship. That can lead to all sorts of problems. So I think ultimately the best formula is a closed relationship where you work on your issues and you work towards building a healthy, productive, wholesome relationship.
I see. Okay. Well, gentlemen, Mark, what are your thoughts on what Hassani's just shared with us?
Well, again, I think that when we talk about what's it's kind of like a scripture that people talk about when they say the issue between lawful and expediency. I mean, you have to find what's going to be best for you. And then I think the cultural group has a big impact on even how you feel when it comes to issues concerning attachment, jealousy, and so forth and so on. Because if you were brought up in a system or a situation that suggests clearly that this is not the thing that we look favorably on, it's going to cause a level of tension, because the tension is caused because you have on one side what the group says should be and on the other side your feelings, desires, or perceptions of how you want to conduct your life. So, again, the whole concept of right or wrong, and heard most of the gentlemen on this panel, I've heard say they would not choose for their life an open relationship. And I don't know if that's the issue, because when we look at monogamous relationships and we look at the fact that marriages are in high turmoil, and if marriages are in high turmoil, then that means every other monogamous relationship probably is too, you know, whether it be the formal legal situation or be the non-formal legal, we're living with each other or dating, whatever the case may be, we're still dealing with the fact of issues of jealousy, insecurity, issues of attachment, issues of detachment. So I don't know that, you know, while it's easy to demonize certain forms of relationships, I think the reality is everybody has to figure out where they can basically prosper and live a life that they find comfort and enjoyment and longevity in.
Well, if I could jump in right quick, I mean, you're right. Everyone has their own relational code of ethics, and they have to determine what they believe is best for them. But even those that live in a culture where it is not demonized or looked down upon, I mean, I have a cousin who happens to be Muslim, who's in a relationship with a man that has multiple wives. And so it is an accepted practice amongst their faith. And she gives me the inside scoop on what really goes down behind closed doors. And so the sensationalized HBO show Big Love that many of us are familiar with doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg in terms of a lot of the confrontation and the jealousy and the backbiting and, you know, the things that go on within that type of situation. So, I you know, whether we accept it or not, or whether we demonize it or not, there are complications. But like you said, monogamous relationships have problems too. We know that the divorce rate amongst first marriages is over 50%. For second marriages, it's over 65%. For third marriages, it's above and beyond 70%. And that's because many of us didn't take the time to really get to know the person we were with. I think that the success of any marriage is based upon what you do before you say, I do. And unfortunately, many of us get into relationships for two reasons, physical attraction and emotional desirability. So as long as they look good and they can make us feel good, we think that that is a qualifier. But unfortunately, that is not enough to sustain a healthy relationship. And if we don't have the building blocks or know the couple skills required to make relationships work, they are all bound to fail. Because statistically, the longer you're with someone, the worse that relationship's going to get. And unfortunately, many people don't realize that relationships is actually spelled W-O-R-K. It requires work. And if you're not willing to put in the work, it's not going to happen. Every 3,000 miles, you have to go get, what, an oil change on your car. Every so many thousand miles, you need to get a tune-up. So it requires maintenance. The same thing takes place in a relationship between two people. It requires maintenance. So you should seek couple counseling. You should read a book. You should go to a seminar. You should watch videos. You should have marriage mentors. You should be around other couples that are in healthy, productive relationships from which you can glean from in order to sustain your own. But we don't take enough time, enough effort, and put in enough work to make our relationships work.
But that has a lot to do with the fact of what we have a level of buy-in and investment in. The reality is this. What you care about using the car is a great example. The bottom line is that when you care about that car, as opposed to care about just being seen in that car, then you're going to do things to maintain it. You know what I'm saying? So the concept of maintenance comes in quickly when an individual finds value. Once you find value, then you maintain. So the issue with these relationships having the problems they have is the lack of finding value. As far as work, you work at what you find value in. If I don't find value in it, then I'm not going to work at it.
If I may interject, in order to find value, Hassani, you must do one very important thing, and I think you would agree on me, and it's something I say every show. You got to communicate. You have to communicate with one another. And you also have to have the willingness to communicate with one another. Because if that's lopsided, the work is not going to take place.
Well, Bree, what I have to say about that is this, and I keep saying, the communication, all of that comes when I have a desire. Okay, check it out. It's like this. If I have a pain in my leg and I don't like that, then I start searching for what's going on with it. I might try to mitigate it by virtue of taking some kind of pain medicine. But if I find out, wait a minute, it's not going away, it's getting worse, I start seeking out the desire because I don't want to be in the condition that I'm in if I care about that. So communication happens when I care about wanting to communicate. You see what I'm saying? It has to be a desire. There has to be a desire at certain types of outcomes. If you want to see certain types of outcomes, then you put the work in. If you don't care, or you just cool this lackadaisical interaction, then fine. You get what you get. You don't have a fit. It is what it is.
Well,
okay.
Let me say one thing. You know, I do agree with what Hassani said from one perspective. You know what? If everybody had the skills to live happily ever after, everybody would be living happily ever after. You know, obviously, most people don't have the skills in a romantic relationship sort of paradigm to live happily ever after. And I think that goes from, first of all, establishing that they have a way to maintain their own individual happiness, so they have happiness to share. They have realistic expectations about, you know, what they're going to get in the relationship with their partner. And they also have realistic expectations about the goal of the relationship. You know, whether they have sort of business goals, you know, as it relates to the marriages as far as economic or, you know, children and something like that. But then the interpersonal relationship, from my observation and from people I've talked to, most people, long-term relationships that break up and that break down, it's because the relationship stops being fun. I don't really see people staying together anymore for economic reasons. I don't see people staying together for the children. I don't even see people staying together for cultural reasons, where they used to be, and I include religion in the culture context for doing that as much as they used to. That seems to be diminishing. So nowadays, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's funny because I was having this conversation with someone else. I call it the throwaway society. It's so funny because we feel that, you know, our options, we have greater options now, so there's no need to put in the work. I agree with Hassani was saying, what Mark was saying. Me and Bree was talking about this much earlier, how a lot of people, they just, you know, if you miss one bus, there's another one coming around the corner. There's a lot of things there's a lot of structures to relationships, also to marriage, that a lot of people are not taking, a lot of steps. He was talking about something like counseling. Older folks that put in the time. I have grandparents that have been married 70 years, 70. How can that happen? How does that happen? A lot of young folks are not asking questions. A lot of these older folks are not giving answers. And so there should be some type of systematic way for us to get this so these relationships can prosper. A lot of people say now, like you were just saying, Doc, it's not about finances anymore. It used to be about finances. Women out here making their own money now. But what comes along with that comes a whole bunch of other issues in the family structure. But a lot of people are not courting. A lot of women are not investigating these men. A lot of men are not investigating these women. A lot of us as born and raised in urban communities are not taught how to argue and then resolve the issues. You understand? So we're left trial and error. We're left just trying to fight and figure this out ourselves.
If I could just say something, I've done a lot of Blog Talk radio shows, and I've never been as impressed to be on a panel with men who are articulate, intelligent, and all make perfect sense. I can't disagree with anything that anyone has ever said thus far because all of you are absolutely right. And it's just important that you continue to do this radio show, and hopefully people will tune in and listen and take heed to what's saying, because everything you're saying is hitting right on the head. And, wow, what a refreshing thing. How long has this radio show been in existence?
January 25th, I aired my first show, Hassan.
Well, how did you find these strong, intelligent brothers?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to give a lot of credit to my co-host Mark in Houston, Texas. He is my muse. He is an inspiration. We have knockdown, drag out fights, but in the end, it's always what's in the best interest of the show. So I have to give him a lot of credit for the success of the show, and then I sought you out because I thought that you could add a dynamic that would be very interesting to the listeners. I mean, you're at the top of the game in what you're doing. And each one of the gentlemen, who Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, Will Towson, these are people who talk about this all day, every day. This is what we all live. So that's how you put a panel together, I believe. I don't know. I mean, I'm a novice at, but I'm doing this from my heart.
But what I find so interesting is that so many women I come across have this false perception that, you know, where are all the good black men at? They don't exist. There's a shortage. And I'm like, they're right up under your nose. You just have to identify them for who and what they are. And I think that we're missing one another. You know, you were talking about some of the reasons why our relationships don't work. Well, I believe that there is a moral decline that is taking place in this country, but also there's an economic switch that has taken place, and women have become more independent, and they're making their own money. So there's less glue that is, in essence, binding marriages or committed relationships together, because everyone is at the point now where they can live by themselves and, quote-unquote, don't need a man or don't need a woman. And so, you know, when God created us, he created us to be one with one another, to rely. See, when you become independent of the person that you're with, you leave that other person with no role to play. Every man wants to be wanted. Every man wants to be needed. Every man and woman has a role to play in the relationship, and there's got to be some strength that they bring to accommodate the weakness that you have. And I think that we have become so independently minded that it hasn't done any good for our relationships.
Well, I'll just speak to that for a moment because I am a woman that was raised by two very strong parents, two very strong-minded, strong-willed parents. But more importantly, my father. You know, we had a caller early. I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear. She feels as though the reason why most women sleep with different men and not really connecting to any one man is because women come with issues like their father wasn't around or they've been abused or whatever. I think you have to go back a little, and we're not trying to analyze and assess what happens, not on this show, not tonight, but I think it's important when you talk about how a person was raised, how a girl was raised. I had the good fortune of my father constantly being in my ear. I had two older brothers that was constantly in my ear telling me how nasty boys were, the only thing that they really wanted. I had my father telling me as I got older, and he allowed me to go on my first date when I was 16, what being with a man was going to be like, what dating a man was going to be like, what I should expect from a man, what to look for in a good man. So, you know, and you have to have that on the flip side of women talking to their sons, you know. So,
well, you know what, Bree, you know,
that's just my opinion.
That's something I would say, and I listened to what Hassani was talking about, somewhat the decline of morality and whatever. I think the funny thing about mastery and perfection, if you will, or coming to a certain level of expertise, it comes through a process of trial and error and tearing down and building up and so forth and so on. So while I do see there are issues in our society, I always have hope from the simple fact that I think that my desire to want things to be best, because remember, when a man is seeking out a woman, a woman seeking out a man, we're seeking out each other, a lot of that comes from the basis that we know that it's something else other than what we're doing, and we're trying to figure that out. So a lot of times our relationships, unfortunately, are going to be the laboratories for the experiments that we're going to do to try to figure out where we need to go. And then that road may lead us to coming to that understanding. Unfortunately, we do have to look at the casualties, but unfortunately, with any war, there's going to be casualties. And in the war for self and understanding, there's going to be some emotional casualties. There's going to be some personal breakups. That's going to happen. But the value is the belief that I can get to wherever it is that I'm trying to push, that this energy is pushing me towards.
I agree with what you're saying. I just don't believe that has to be the ideal method of learning and perfecting or mastering your craft in a relationship. You know, experience isn't always the best teacher. Sometimes a better teacher is learning from the experiences of others. That's where wisdom comes in. And that's why I said it's important to invest in your relationship in the many formats that I mentioned, whether it be coaching or counseling or getting a book or finding a marriage mentor, finding someone that you esteem that is in a healthy relationship and learning and gleaning from them. I don't think that you have to destroy somebody's life just to figure out what you should and shouldn't do. And unfortunately, you're right. Many of us have learned through trial and error, and we've messed up people's lives in the process in our attempt to get it right. And by that time, some of us, you know, have been through so much, we bring so many issues into these new relationships, and we wind up holding our present partner hostage to past situations that we never got over. And so experience is good, but there's other things that I think that we can begin to rely on to make sure that we don't create victims or casualties in the process.
Yeah, those experiences cause us to ask. And I agree with Osani, but those experiences cause us to ask and seek out. You know what? It's not working. So my thing is that if the question becomes or the issue becomes for me, I want things to work more favorably for me, that usually can be the impetus to push me towards finding out something, whether it be a marriage counselor, whether it be going to a friend, whether it be going to a couple that's been together for 20, 30, 40 years, whatever the case may be. But my point is that the desire to want to see something different usually pushes us to change or to seek out what we can get. You know what I'm saying? When that really is there. Some of us are not there yet. And some of us, it's kind of like the whole Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like you, when they talk about hitting the bottom. Sometimes you got to hit the bottom. Some of us are still falling. So we have to hit
Also, you have to have a willingness to have a partner that wants to seek out with you alternative methods to ensuring that the relationship maintains its healthiness, or to be proactive to ensure that certain things don't happen. If you have a partner that is giving you a problem with seeking out those alternative methods, then you have to really assess who are you with, and then that becomes a whole different conversation.
Well, you know, I believe that's the reason why the divorce rate is so high. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Right.
No, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I was saying that's one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high, because it's very difficult in this time and age to find that support system inside a marriage. I believe that we're living in a, like I said before, I believe that we're living in a society where it's more selfish instead of other-centered, where it's more self-centered. We're thinking about what we can get from it with our hands out instead of saying, what can we give? You know, he's not giving me sex. She's not taking me nowhere. Or he's not taking me nowhere. And as long as we're in a self-centered society or relationships and not other-centered, they're constantly going to fail and continue to fail.
Well,
you know, one of the things one of the reasons that I sort of limit my relationship mumbo-jumbo to dating, you know, regardless of people's, you know, personal preferences for marriage and things like that, is that what I see, my observation is that a lot of times people think they can have a successful marriage outside of a viable culture. You know, marriage is a cultural thing. Marriages were meant to exist within cultures, you know, with norms and things like that. And I think that part of the reason that we're having so much problems with our long-term relationships holding together is because we have lost sight sort of the value of our culture. And then we're trying to have this marriage, this cultural thing, outside of its sort of natural element. You know, we think we can just go on our own and just do it and it's going to work. And it just wasn't designed to that. That's why, and even when I say that, I believe the basis of a successful long-term relationship is personal growth. I think people have to be committed to their own personal achieving and maintaining their own personal happiness and not putting that burden on the other person. I believe
Yes, sir.
Well, that usually
your romantic partner.
You're talking about personal growth. That usually happens in a person's lifetime after they have been hurt people, been married, divorced. They have to sometimes.
They have to have some stuff under their belt
in order to get to that point.
I disagree with that. I think that commitment to personal growth happens when you're raised by people that instill those values in you before you even enter into serious relationships.
I think that you're absolutely right, and I think that the lowest common denominator of every relationship we enter into is us. Why? Because we take us everywhere we go. And if you go from one bad relationship to the next bad relationship to another bad relationship, you know, we often wind up pointing the finger at everyone else, not realizing that when you point the finger, there are three fingers pointing right back at you. So you have to deal with your own self. There's three relationships, I think, that we all must master. The first relationship is the relationship with your God. That's what we call your vertical relationship. Then there's the relationship that you have with yourself. That is what we call your internal relationship. Then there's the relationship that you have with another. That is what we call your horizontal relationships. And the problem is, in this culture, in this society, we've gotten so focused and so caught up in horizontal relationships that we never took the time to master or perfect the vertical or the internal relationship, thus not having any foundation to stand on. And when you are committed, as he said, to personal growth and development, when you are committed to the power of kanai, which is constant and never-ending improvement, when you become the best person that you can be, then you're only going to increase the value of your relationship because you're increasing your own personal value. So what you said was absolutely correct, and if we could go into marriage counseling and coaching sessions with that mentality, then I think that more of our marriages would succeed instead of fail. But what we do, we point the finger at everybody else, and we're not willing to change until we see a change in our partners.
And that has a lot to do with the fact that we don't see value. We see, this comes back to this whole concept, and I talk about you, about you. And so it is about you. It's always about you. It's about your value. And the thing about a person that doesn't see value in himself or worth in himself, he's going to have a hard time finding worth in things outside of him, so to speak.
Very
so
true.
When you talk about a man treating a woman a certain way, I can't treat you. You know what it says? Do unto others as you have them do unto. You can't do unto others beyond what you can do unto yourself. It ain't going to happen. So that's kind of how we operate
Very
in
true.
This space that we call our world or our culture. So you, Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, Will, I think, you know, it's kind of funny. We're just passing the ball around saying a lot of the same things. It's kind of cool, though.
You guys are brilliant. You really are. I wish I could stay on this show. I can't, but please have me back on. I want to connect with all three of you outside of this radio program because you guys are brilliant, and I think that there's some powerful things we can do together. So I have to go because we're in a marathon tonight, and I have responsibilities, but please bring me back on, and let's connect.
Well,
I have your Facebook, Hassani. I'll send you a Facebook.
Please contact me.
Yeah.
Well, you're more than welcome.
Enjoy having you, brother. Enjoy having you.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
Thank you much, Hassani, for coming to the show tonight. Well, we're going to take...
Was that it? Oh, okay.
Oh, no. You should have said it. No, you still talking mumbo jumbo? We ain't finished with you yet, bro.
Like, that's it?
Say, I thought y'all put in four quarters, but if it's only three, I can go.
You're not done yet, brother. You're not done yet.
never that. You know, this is
Mark,
funny. This is what I gotta say. You know, and of course this wasn't our conversation for tonight, but I think the reality is that we sometimes live in a world that we don't know what's going on outside of our world because we don't get beyond that space. So the fact that you can believe something and then you almost feel like you're the only one believing it has a lot to do with where you go. So if you stay in one space, you're going to have a hard time finding out what's happening in other spaces sometimes. I just say that, you know, as far as interacting with other people, because the reality is to learn. And I think we learn by virtue of interacting with our environment. And the reality is these people, meaning you, me, everybody on this line, is in our collective environment. So we learn when we interact with our environment and are aware of what's going on in our environment.
And I think that is so important when you get
what we're
going to
do now. What we're going to do now, we're going to take a station break, and then when we come back, we have some callers in the queue that like to get in on the discussion. So we are going to come back in about 30 seconds, okay?
Breathe Light. Welcome back to the Breathe Life.
And welcome back. We're talking about open relationships versus monogamy. We're going to pick up a caller that's been on the line for a while. Thank you for being very patient. The number that we're picking up is 516-509.
Hey, you guys. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bless.
Fantastic. Okay, one of the things I want to get on is, you know, usually, well, welcome. Thank you for having me on your show. My name is Twan. I wanted to get on the issue of Black Law's dictionary definition of monogamy, which is a marriage contracted by one man and one woman in exclusion of all the rest of mankind, which means no one else exists but these two people. And to go on with open, in a law dictionary, is to render accessible, visible, or available, to submit, to subject, or examine, examination of inquiry by the removal of restrictions or impediments or hindrances. And the interesting thing is in my opinion, open relationship is something that really takes away from the bloodline, the birthright, the covenant, spirituality, and these are why we should have a monogamous relationship. I don't really have a question. I just wanted to make an analogy on some things.
Someone's line is breaking up, or they're moving around. Maybe their headset.
Is that better? Is that me?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. And the only thing I want to really get to is I want to get around the subliminal imagery that we actually have in today's society. Everywhere you walk around, women are walking half naked. There's other entities, there's other things that are actually commanding men and women to get onto where I want something, I desire something other than what I committed to, and the commitment of having a covenant or between a contract between two people in terms of being in a monogamous relationship, jumping outside to that open marriage or open relationship in order to explore other areas. I think that's really the drive when you look at the videos, when you look at everything that's transmitting into someone's eyes, into their soul. These things are really driving our society to go into the open relationship. And then on the other hand, now you have the divorce rate going up and everything else because you're going outside of the commitment of one-to-one. And so everything I've said on this radio show tonight has been on point. It's definitely what society needs. It's definitely what our country needs. And so I would hope that everyone who haven't listened or people have passed the word on, they need to check in to BreeLife and really get what's going on. BreeLife, get what's going on here. And basically, that's what I really want to expound on. This personal dissatisfaction is another reason, I believe, that people step outside of the marriage to pursue their own desires. And in the selfishness that was expounded on is on point. And basically, that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Tuan, for calling in. And we're going to put you back in queue. Don't hang up. So, panel, do you have any comments as to what Tuan has shared with us tonight?
I think that he hit a lot of it on what I was saying earlier about we're living in a society where we're self-centered. It's about our needs first, whether we're talking monogamy, not talking about an open relationship. It's about what I want first, if it works for me. Getting back to the original situation, open relationship versus monogamy, I think it's based on what you yourself can handle, how you're built, what you can take. I believe that a lot of men can't handle. I think a lot of men, we speak, we want an open relationship until we find out that our mate was sleeping with someone else. Then it becomes a huge problem. I think that is definitely about jealousy. I don't think a lot of men can handle that. And I think a lot of men will choose monogamy based on the fact that because they will not allow or do not want to even imagine their mate being with someone else. So I think that's very difficult for a lot of men.
When you talk about open relationships, I think before you can actually even be in an open relationship, what most of us are doing now, and I think one of the callers earlier mentioned it, and it's a feeling of my own, that we're doing this open dating. Like, you know, someone said earlier, there's no courting going on anymore.
Right.
I mean, everything is like it's a microwave society. Everything is rushed. Talking
is Mumbo Jumbo. Is Dr. Mumbo Jumbo still there?
Everything is rushed.
I'm still here. Doctor, I need you to comment on that. I really need you to comment on that, what she just said.
Oh, please.
Could you repeat it, please?
I said
please,
we're living in a microwave society. Everything is rushed. No one courts anymore. Before you can even get into an open relationship, most interactions between men and women today, based on how I see it, is an open dating situation. I feel that most men don't have the capacity to even focus on one woman at a time. whether it's a chance meeting or especially on the internet. Because chance meetings, I'm sure Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, you know the statistics on, you know, what a chance meeting, what the ratio for chance meetings are, women percentage versus men. And then you also have the interactions on the internet, which quadruples the ratio. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I hear a lot that, I mean, from a demographic standpoint, statistically, if you're a sister in America and you're looking for a brother, just because of the impact of continuing systematic racism, you know, there just aren't as many brothers being raised to the same quote-unquote social economic status if you use Western rewards and values as your basis for selecting a comparable person. But my thing is that, I mean, I was just on a panel on Saturday called Think Like a Man, Oh Really? And one of the questions was, do powerful sisters have to wind up dating somebody less educated? And my response was, I personally don't know of any happy, smart, fit, healthy sisters that don't have their choice of male suitors, feminine sisters. I just don't. You know, I think sometimes women, even though sometimes women eschew or don't like advice from men and stuff like that, I think sometimes women do project so much, and they think there's so little opportunity out there. But you'd be surprised at how many good men there are out there that want to commit, have committed, and really don't want that much, you know, in a relationship. But it's hard to find those types of women.
If I may chime in a little bit, going back to what you were saying, Bree, I think about the courtship, death of courtship, I think that I hate to put this much pressure on women, but it's you who run the universe. I think that what happens is that you relinquish that power over to men, and then we just choose to do what we want to do with it, with you.
Oh, I agree.
You have the control. I think you have the control and the power when you want to give me the cookie and when you don't want to give me a cookie. I mean, it's a shame that I can meet you on a Sunday, Tuesday I'm taking you out, and by Friday you're in my bed. You can say that I'm the blame for it all you want. But I asked you the question that, like I asked you earlier, if me and you going into the bedroom, two people on the same page going into the bedroom, how do we step out of that bedroom on two different pages then? Because you're using your body thinking that that's going to cause a relationship when I just want sex. So instead of asking me what are your intentions before going into the bedroom, you choose not to do so. You disguise it in your body, and then when I walk out and you walk out, I don't call you for the next 2-3 days. Now I'm a dog, I'm no good. When you should have asked those questions before walking in. But a lot of women are afraid to ask those questions because they're afraid to be scratched off the roster. Now, I respect the woman that can come in and say, well, listen, I just want the sex, and that's all it is. I respect that because it's like monogamy or like an open relationship. Both people are on the same page. You
and let me tell
I'm
you
saying?
The reverse psychology about that. And, you know, I might be telling a secret here, but it's not really a secret. You know, some women feel that if they step to the plate a little harder or more assertively, that it will set them up for better success than to being demure and, you know, somewhat docile to the whole dating experience. And also placing value on themselves where you say, look, if you wanna date me, you're gonna date me. You're gonna get to know me before we go to this intimate level. You know, there are those that would say, what's the big deal about having sex on the first date? I don't know. What does the panel think?
Well, but you know something? This is an issue I have with the whole cookie conversation. And it's like men want access to a woman's physical intimacy. That's the thing of value. But just women value emotional intimacy of a man just as much as men value the physical intimacy of a woman. That's what we both guard, respectively. Now, I've had the fortune of spending a lot of time in other cultures, living in other places where it doesn't have the dynamic here, where women are raised sort of differently. They're raised to be more feminine than sexual. You know, a lot of their value and their self-worth isn't wrapped up in their sexuality. It's sort of wrapped up in their femininity. And their whole approach, they don't use their sexuality as the bartering tool or the chip to manipulate. You know, it's sort of a thing where it's like, hey, if you're going to humble yourself and give me your emotional intimacy, I'll humble myself and give you physical intimacy. You know, or not. And I think some of the time we get this concept. This is why I talked to my goddaughter. I said, you know what? You have to learn to be feminine and just being, even though she's an extremely attractive woman, I said, you know what? You know, if you're basing everything, your value on sexuality and your cookie, I said, every year they come out with a younger, fresher version of you. And so you have to be more than that. And you have to respect that. And the type of man you want is going to realize that he's more than that too. And he's going to value himself and the emotional intimacy and the things that he knows that you really desire. And, of course, women desire it. That's why Steve Harvey's book, that's why, you know, the movie was so successful. That's why smart, successful women make bad choices with men who are playing them. It's because you guys are so addicted to that emotional intimacy. The same way smart brothers make stupid decisions because they want the physical intimacy. So I think our paradigm sometimes is just ineffective for what we're trying to do.
Okay. Mumbo jumbo.
Woo, Mumbo, you kind of, whoa. Mumbo kind of, he kind of hit it on. He kind of hit some people trying to hear with some stuff, boy. That's kind of like, we got to call you back for another day just to break that down. And I was like, whoa. I was loving it, but it was like, whoa. He's going to finish this. He's sexuality. And so you know what's going to happen now. We need you to break down femininity and sexuality. What are you talking about?
Well, you know what? One of the questions, I have a boot camp I run called Dr. Mumbo Jumbo's How to Date Your Dream Guy While Being the Girl of Your Dreams. And one of the questions I ask in the third chapter is I ask women, do you base your power on your female sexuality or on your femininity? And do you distinguish between your female sexuality and your femininity? And if you do or if you don't, I ask you to explain why. And then I ask you to give an example of a woman that's feminine and not sexy or sexy and not feminine. And then we really start examining that, and then we go back and we sort of look at the sexual revolution, World War II, and some of those other things, and the changes in economic things where women stopped valuing, where the value of femininity in our society became diminished as women started wanting to act like men. In the sexual revolution, and economically, they wanted to start acting like men, and then look at the impact that that's really had and is having on trying to have romantic relationships.
So, B, what do you
and
mean?
Some things are in our DNA, in our nature. We physically can't think the same. We just physically can't process emotions the same.
But, B, what do you mean act like a man? What do you mean act like a man? Like what?
In terms of competing like a man. You know, I've had feminine bosses and things like that, and the way some of them were very wise, and their leadership style and something like that. They did not necessarily try to go toe-to-toe with a man and things like that, but they used their superior emotional skills, emotional awareness, and emotional things like that, the things that they were gifted with that men aren't gifted with, to solve the problems and to get the things they want. So I think sometimes women, my observation, is that sometimes women want things, but they don't necessarily approach them in a feminine way. They'll demand things, and they'll demand things, and they'll tell, like what I also work with this young sister group called Project Diva. Yeah, it's a group that empower, you know, sisters between basically junior high school and high school. And I say one of the things I teach them, I said, I'll give you a basic thing. I said, do an experiment. I said, for 1 week, I want you don't tell a man anything. For 1 week, I want you to ask a man everything you want a man to do. I want you to ask him and not tell him anything, even your kids, clean up. And then come back in 1 week and tell me what you learned about the nature of a man. So when I talk about, you know, women acting like men, men, they tend to approach problem solving sometimes in a masculine way as opposed to taking advantage of their feminine skill.
I told you, gotta have you back.
Hey,
gotta have you back. Because that's like a whole course right there by itself.
Well, what do you say about that?
Dr. Mumbo Jumbo, you are the man. I think that, you know, he didn't leave too much to talk about. Basically, I have a problem, I have several problems. I have a problem when I hear sisters say there are no good men. I think too many of our sisters are believing in the myth that there's no good men. I believe in too many of our sisters are believing that they think like men when that's impossible. The doc explained that whole situation there. I think it comes right back to being comfortable within yourself and what your choices are. Courtship, I believe that if women understood their power, understood and took some self-inventory, just as like men as well, situations and relationships be much better off. I was told that I'm pretty harsh on women, but I believe that it's you who run this world. It's you who run the relationship to a degree. And I don't think too many are actually stepping up to the plate to own it. I think like Mark was saying earlier, or I think the other brother was talking about earlier, too many are actually putting blame on other people than themselves. We're walking around society blaming others for our shortcomings in life and our relationships, and we're not taking self-inventory in where we are at fault, our flaws. I've come to see in my daily life, working where I work and traveling and doing panels, discussion, a lot of the corporate independent women don't know how to decipher relationships from the corporate world. And I think those are the ones that are having huge problems in relationships because of that situation.
Sorry,
Will, I have a question for Will.
Yes, sir.
Will, what would you tell?
We're getting some feedback. I'm sorry. There's some feedback.
That's not me.
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
It's not me, though. But Will.
Okay, Mark.
I was listening to what you were saying. So similar to Dr. Bowman, what is it, if you had one thing you would want women to know that could change the dynamic of how men and women interact with each other, since you give them that much power, since you give them that much authority in the relationship, what is the one thing you would tell them?
That exactly what you said. It's you who have the power. See, the game is very simple. I explained this to my daughter. I explained this to many women before. The game is very simple. You have what I want. You know I want it. Make me earn it. That's really the bottom line.
May I answer that? May I answer that, Mark?
Go ahead, please.
The one thing I would tell women is the power of the feminine voice. If they could learn how to use the feminine voice, all kind of their relationship issues with men would dissipate. They do not understand the impact the feminine voice has on men, men's emotions, men's responses to fight or flight and all that kind of stuff like that. And you can tell.
That's so right.
I talk to women. I say, look, you want to see the sexy woman at the club or in this place? Look at the women all the guys are talking about and looking at. You want to find the feminine woman? Find the woman all the guys are talking to.
And you know what?
I've been around.
You're right.
I've been around feminine women. Mm-hmm. I know feminine women who were masters at their femininity, who control the room, who could calm anything, who men would do anything to be in their presence.
And you know what? One of the greatest women that was able to do that in history, Cleopatra. She was able to make Caesar and Mark Anthony her slaves because she understood her feminine side.
Well, Will, this goes to B and Will. You're hitting some points because I'm a musician and Dr. Mumble Jumble's a musician too. So one thing we know about music is we know about pitch, we know about cadence, and we know about rhythm. You know what I'm saying? So we also know about tempo. So he is hitting some points because a feminine. It's something about a sister that understands how to use her voice and her tone, and it's just unbelievable because she can say some stuff to you and you'll be like, "Woo, man!" And you might even be mad at her. But you'll just kind of get into a whole other space. You'll get to a whole other space. And she come off like, woo, 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 woo. You're like, whoa, you sound like you talking to my homie now. And you ain't going to have, you have a different response. But she can tell you a whole thing. Like, you know what, you're the most messed up brother in the world. And she can say that the right way, and you'll be like thinking about it. You won't be fighting. You'll be like, whoa.
I think you're right in what the doc said, too. So many women have the power, but they haven't tapped into their feminine side yet. And because they haven't, those are the ones that are somewhat lonely as well. I think, like you said, I'm not a musician, but I used to sing in a group, Sound Columbia Records, and it was that woman that understood her power when she came over. She wasn't the most attractive woman, maybe had an okay body, but the way she spoke to me, like you said, her rhythmic, her walking was sexy. Everything about her was the rhythm, the rhythmic pattern that she possessed when she just walked into my space made me, like, pay her attention.
And that's something our mothers used to teach the daughters. And I've been in other cultures where they still teach that and instill that. And that's
right.
And we talk about one of the things that's masculine is now women talk about, you know, they throw words around. It's just, it has an impact on men. And it has an impact on how, regardless of how, another problem I have is this concept of the same. I think that's one of the worst things that in a relationship is this false expectation that things are equal. Just because things might have equal value doesn't mean there's equal perceptions, duties, responsibilities to the success of the relationship.
Well, let me say this real quick. I want to say this real quick.
Gentlemen, we're coming to the show, and I just want us to everyone have 30 seconds to kind of wrap up their thoughts about the topic tonight. Mark, if you want to start.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, it was a great, I enjoyed the interaction. I just got a text message from a friend of mine, and this is what she said. She said, she was talking about what Byron was saying. She said, Mumbo Jumbo, he said, he's right, and gay acting guys act more like women than we do. I think we lose it because we, as women, have to take on two roles, so it's less, so we choose the lesser, which is the man role.
Wow.
I was like, why? But I kind of understand in this world of competing, you might think she may have to think that. But what Mumble Jumble is saying, which I really appreciate, is that she doesn't have to do that. And it would be a good thing if she didn't for all of us.
Okay.
Right.
Dr. Mumble Jumbo?
I just like to say I really enjoyed participating. And it's like I closed with the panel last week. I said sometimes we have to start talking about each other before we can start talking to each other. And if we start talking to each other, we might discover that we have really one voice, just with different dialect and different, you know, intonation. So I'm just optimistic that these conversations about relationships are going on, because I think that's critical to us recreating a healthy culture that will sustain ourselves.
Okay, well, thank you. And Will?
I just want to say thank you for having me on. It's been a blessing meeting you, talking to Brother Mark, Mumbo Jumbo. Yo, bro, you just like a psychopedia, bro. You have a... I mean, he just... I just want to say thank you. It's been a blessing, and I agree. My main objective and my mission on this planet is to communicate, to get communication between the both sexes come up, because once communication stops, nothing else will start. I think it starts with communicating, whether it's negative or positive. It all don't come out positive. Now you know.
Well, I want to thank you all for participating tonight in our discussion regarding open relationships versus monogamy. I want to say thank you to the listeners and the callers who called in to interact. We had some women call us tonight, so that was great. I want to remind everyone tomorrow that we'll be on air freestyling for Freestyle Thursdays at 9 o'clock. Follow us on blogtalkradio.com/freelife and call in at 424-220-1862. I love you all on purpose. Peace and blessings and good night.
Iti Mokla. Iti Mokla.